This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Action fanatics, welcome to the holiday edition of the Bulletproof Podcast. I'm your host, Chris the Brain. Joining me once again, my co-host, Chad Cruz.
Thank you very much for having me, and happy holidays to you, Mr. Brain.
Absolutely. Happy holidays to you and to all our listeners and to this man. He's back to talk about a movie that I'm pretty sure he has never seen before watching it for this program. The one and only Ryan Campbell back with us.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy holidays to you both and everyone out there in listening land. And I'm probably going to need you guys' help because I did watch the movie. I'm not entirely sure I know what happened in it. So I'm probably going to need your help through this.
Well, that's what we are here for. You know, we always like to celebrate the holiday season. And what better way than with the canon Christmas classic, Invasion USA. Before we get into that, though, I do want to talk about our last episode. We had our friend Ron Mathis on with us.
We did.
And we talked some RoboCop 2. I do want to apologize because towards the end of the episode, the audio got a little sketchy. And I did my best, so... Certainly, we're using a new platform here, and we've got to work out the kinks. But I think we're good. I think we'll be good this time.
Do you think that we could just put that blame on Mathis?
Yes, I honestly do think it was I think it was him. But it's all right. You know, if it was just you and me, and the audio was screwed up, we would have redone it.
What a heel move.
He is. He is the ultimate heel. And so, yeah, if you did, we do apologize for that. But I think we'll be good going forward. And I now want to talk about something. Chad Cruz.
Yes.
A Bulletproof Action First happened last week. I didn't tell you about it because I was too busy laughing constantly throughout the day.
Okay.
Last week, Chad Cruz on BulletproofAction.com.
Oh, boy.
Had a Black Christmas battle.
I did.
When I saw it, I said to myself, if only we had a feature where two movies fought each other.
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
There was no time for the graphic.
Okay. I would have gladly made the graphic to keep it in the movie Kumite Family. But that was fine. I was fine with it because I said that disrespect of the movie Kumite created a Bulletproof Action First, because on the first day that Black Christmas took on Black Christmas, nobody read it.
That is good.
It had one view, and I knew who it was. It was me, because I grabbed the link to put it on Facebook and on Twitter. And every time I'd be like, okay, surely someone has checked it out now. Nope. And I just kept laughing harder and harder each time. And I was like, should I tweet it out again? I'm like, no. At this point, I just want to play it and see if it plays out. The next day, people did read it. But that first day, no one wanted a Black Christmas.
I don't know if I, you know, I'm certainly not upset that no one clicked on it. But I'm more surprised that we haven't had that happen in the past. Because I've written some real stinkers, I know.
Well, they don't know until they click it, though.
That's true, but we cover a lot of movies from a lot of years, spanning decades, and we cover a lot of trash. So I'm surprised this never happened. So now I guess I am a little upset now.
It's a first. It was a first, and it was just, it was amazing. I could not believe it, because I think there's some people who will just click. You know, we have some loyal, they'll click on everything. Maybe they don't, maybe they just skim it a bit and are like, yeah, this isn't for me. But this was amazing. It was the greatest thing. It really entertained me last Friday. So thank you for that, Chad Cruz.
It's probably, you know, again, I don't want to point a finger at anybody, but the guy who does our social media probably didn't promote it properly.
It was Ron Mathis.
Yeah, why not?
He was filling in for me that day. It's the holidays. I took some time off. So yeah, you can check out Chad's Black Christmas Battle. That should have been a movie kumite, but wasn't. Maybe I'll retro movie kumite it.
Wait a second, Brain. I would like you to, if you're going to go retro style and change things in the past.
Yeah.
I'd like you to go back and see when movie kumite became a thing, and if there was another post, maybe titled Versus, that came out before that.
There was, but then there was a better version of it came out.
Oh, okay, yeah. I just wanted to make sure.
Called movie kumite.
Okay, cool.
But you didn't call it Versus either. If you went retro, you could have done that and made it that, but you didn't do that either.
Well, there was no time. What I was going to do was do all three Black Christmas films, but watching two movies is hard enough.
It really is.
So watching three movies was like impossible.
Well, you could see what movies we have been watching, or TV shows or what have you, on BulletproofAction.com. I know Ryan Campbell, as soon as we're done recording this episode of the Bulletproof Podcast, is going to stay up all night long, maybe a little longer, to cover some brand new things that are hitting. And he may even hit the theater this weekend. I don't know if that's still in the cards for him or not. One never knows. Ryan Campbell's a wild man when he gets going.
That's right, yeah. So Rebel Moon comes out tonight at 10 o'clock, which was Zack Snyder's rejected Star Wars film that he decided he would make with his own, he'd make his own Star Wars film, to quote Bender, with blackjack and hookers. And then after that, the new Monarch episode comes out tonight at midnight. And then, the new Aquaman movie comes out this weekend. So be a busy night tonight, and I'll be in the theater this weekend.
Also in the theater this weekend, The Iron Claw, which I got to see last week. I went to check to see if they were going to have early showings tonight, and it just so happened they had an early screening that night I was looking, and I'm like, well, I'm going to the theater tonight then now, aren't I?
I wasn't aware that movie wasn't out yet. I'm sorry. I just assumed. I've seen about 5,000 reviews online. Yeah,
no, it just officially hit theater, but there were some sneak previews last week, which is what I jumped on when I saw it. And this weekend for Christmas, I will be paying tribute to the great Die Hard 2.
So beautiful.
Check on that, bulletproofaction.com. And again, read Chad's Black Christmas Spectacular.
Yeah. I mean,
because we know you missed out on the first day.
Out of pity, if anything.
Exactly. Exactly.
Blow that shit up. What if it got like 25,000 clicks now?
You know what? On the very next episode, I would congratulate you for having another first, because I don't think any post has ever had 25,000 clicks, at least in that short period of time. Maybe like Tears of the Sun and Beyond the Law cumulatively have hit that number at this point in time.
Not even Hot D or Game of Thrones got those numbers.
Right, exactly. So
I'm gonna get on Fiverr after this and pay someone from Sri Lanka to just click and click and click.
Do it.
I got a Fiverr account if you just want to pay me to do it, Chad. That's perfectly fine.
Will you sit up and click on it all night?
He's going to be up anyway.
It sounds like.
I know.
He can multitask.
Okay, that'd be good.
All right. Well, let's talk about what we're here for. It's our holiday episode. It is Invasion USA, released September 27th, 1985. What a fantastic film this is. I watched this one on Prime, so I just watched the streaming version. MGM Lion is there roaring. Then we get the Canon logo, and I'm like, oh, this is what I live for. Chuck Norris's name above the title. I mean, come on, he's a superstar. And we kind of get a cold open. We see this boat full of refugees making their way, presumably to Florida. And a young boy on the boat sees the U.S. Coast Guard coming their way, and he's very excited. But Chad Cruz, when we get a close-up of who the Coast Guard is, it's Richard Lynch.
Yeah.
And even if you've never, if this is the first time you've seen it, like Ryan Campbell, what did you think, Ryan Campbell? This was the first time you saw this movie, correct?
Yeah, I've seen enough action movies to kind of know where this was heading, I felt like. And my first initial thought was that if you made this movie today, people would say it was woke. the way it, seeing a bunch of Coast Guards shoot up a boat full of refugees. Or weirdly enough, that would be like, they would think they're the heroes or something. But that was my first thought. But yeah, I mean, I've seen enough of these things to kind of know, you know, this was probably where it was heading.
So yeah, Chad, you see Richard Lynch, and obviously mm-hmm. you're like, he can't be a member of the Coast Guard.
No, he's an obvious bad guy. I mean, he looks, everything about the guy, just, he looks villain.
Yeah.
Looks very villainous. So, I mean, if he works for the Coast Guard, then he's probably like one of the most diligent and like disciplined Coast Guard members of all time. But we quickly learn that he is in fact not a Coast Guard member when they start opening fire on this boat full of refugees.
Yeah, and it's not just refugees on this boat. There's also drugs. Those damn drugs were there.
Very clean drugs.
And a lot of them. So now it's all, we're starting to get an idea why they were so interested in this boat. Then we cut to the Florida Everglades and we see our hero, Matt Hunter, played by the one and only Chuck Norris. He's on a fan boat and we kind of get the rest of the opening credits as he's zooming around the Everglades, the music. Done by Jay Chataway, who also did the Chuck Norris film Missing in Action and a movie we covered earlier this year for our Halloween episode, Maniac Cop.
Fun fact, have either of you ever been on a fan boat?
I have not.
Nope, I have not.
I have. I can say I have.
All right. Like fun.
It was very, yeah.
Did you get loud?
No, but you get smacked in the face with a lot of.
I was going to say you probably have bugs.
Things moving around. You just remember getting pelted in the face with stuff constantly.
Oh, okay. Back in my younger days, I had a motorcycle, and it's a lot of fun to drive the motorcycles if you've ever done so. But riding around like in the country area, not as much fun when you're getting hit with like these big fucking bugs right in the face. Yeah.
Now take that and make it the Florida Everglades.
It sounds miserable.
Lots of mosquitoes and bugs.
Which means that this opening or this introduction to Chuck Norris is even more iconic because this dude just doesn't give a shit about all these bugs.
Or being the fact that he's Chuck Norris, the bugs refuse to hit him. Or
that's possible to too.
They just disintegrate as soon as they reach his aura.
They get near, yeah, that beard.
Just bug guts all over him. God damn, that sucks.
So, also, it is directed by Joe Zito, who, once again, that worked with Chuck on Missing in Action, and Chad Cruz's favorite, Friday the 13th, the final chapter, because Judy Aronson is naked in it.
Yeah, she's naked. It's great.
It is. It's a good one. It's a good one for that and other reasons. It's one of the best entries of that franchise.
Except for the title.
Well, yes. Especially in
I'll never get over when movies do like the final chapter. We guarantee this is the end. Like there's like, I hate when movies do that shit, and it happens all the time. Every franchise that's made more than six films and series has probably done this.
Even as a kid, when that was first came out, was on, saw the commercials as a kid, I wasn't buying it.
Bullshit.
I was like, nah,
not a chance.
No way. You're going to kill off Jason. So now we see the FBI and we see the real Coast Guard that should have been on that Coast Guard boat. They're not doing too well, Chad Cruz. They're dead.
Yeah, that's usually a bad thing. now we know where
they got the uniforms.
Where they got the bloody-ass uniforms.
Yeah.
Because that was storytelling.
Those guys are just there all stacked up in their drawers.
Yeah, super dead.
And the FBI is there. Of course, but before the FBI could get their reporter, the lovely McGuire, she doesn't have a first name, that I recall, just McGuire And she was played by Melissa Prophet. She was there. She got pictures, but of course the FBI takes her film and don't mess with her as far as the trespassing or whatever they could charge her with. And now we go back to Matt Hunter and one of Chad Cruz's all-time favorite movie characters and names, John Eagle.
John Eagle, what a name. I mean, just pure masculinity. I mean, the guy's got his shirt popped open, his chest hair just kind of sprouts every time you look at him. It just comes out a little bit more. And just what a man, you know what I mean? Like, he stares a woman down, she's instantly pregnant. It's just, if you said there's a guy named John Eagle, and I'm like, what do you think that he does for a living? I say top three.
Matt Hunter.
Top three guesses, capturing gators, right?
He's in top three, yeah.
Okay, good. That's what he does. He sells gators.
What I'm surprised is that we don't have a John Eagle Cruise. Of all the kids you keep popping out, how you haven't convinced your wife to let you name one of them John Eagle.
Because she knows if she did, it would be John Eagle.
I will say this, that I was unbelievably close. I only have one son. I have two daughters. I have one son. His middle name was almost Hawk, like Lincoln Hawk.
Yeah.
Not Hawks, plural, but Hawk.
Right.
But his middle name was almost Hawk, and it was extremely close. And we ended up going with more of a family name. And we're thankful because we lost that family member. But what a badass name that would have been.
It really would have been. So now we're going to find out who Richard Lynch really is. He's Rostov. And he's in Miami. And he's meeting with another guy who you just know is trouble. Billy Drago plays Mickey. And they meet at this seedy motel. And there's a little... He's going to give them those drugs that they got in exchange for all sorts of weaponry. And his guys are already there to pick up the weapons. They just are waiting for that phone call that everything's good. And it seems to be everything should be fine. And Mickey goes to shake Rostov's hand. And next thing you know, Rostov turns, shoots out the door at the guys who are guarding the door, shoots Mickey in the dick.
Oof, man.
Definitively the worst place you can be shot.
And then the woman, Mickey's woman, little sidekick, just throws her out the window.
Man,
did she fall on a fence?
Not. I don't think we see where she landed.
We'll just say
did she land on a car?
She may have landed on a car.
I don't know. Everybody lands on cars in movies.
Yeah,
Or a fence in a Cannon film, especially. But yeah, I mean, goddamn, Rostov comes in, shoots a guy in the dick, kills a bunch of people, and then throws his old lady out the window. Oh, and then he smashes her. She's snorting coke, and he smashes her head down, shoving the whatever that little contraption was up her nose, the straw or whatever it was, and then throws her out a window.
As ways to establish a villain in a film, and you don't get much more blatant than that. That's pretty
right. If gunning down refugees wasn't enough, like he doesn't care who you are. He's a man on a mission. Apparently,
you could be innocent, or you could be, you know, the dirtiest of the dirty guys, and he'll still just kill you. You don't even care.
I think if he had, like, as he left the apartment, if he had, like, shot the dog or something, that would have been, it would have made sense, you know, because he was such a bad, bad dude.
And I do like that the motel desk guy, after all, he sneaks up there, he grabs those drugs and before the cops come, because
this ain't his first rodeo.
Just, you're throwing money out the window, just letting that go. Or maybe he just wants to party. All right, so now we go back to John Eagle, and he's selling that gator that they caught that morning, and then asks Matt if he wants to have some frog legs later, but Matt turns him down.
Big old jar of frogs.
And this is now where we meet CIA agent Adams, who is rowing his way to Hunter's shack in the Everglades, and this man is very out of – I mean, he's in a full suit, as CIA men often are, and he's very much out of place. He gets there, and Hunter gets the jump on him, sneaks up behind him. I mean, this guy's obviously not one for field work, Chad Cruz. He probably was a pencil pusher.
Yeah, and I think that movies, especially 80s and early 90s action movies, they really had something to say about federal agents. And it wasn't good. They're always kind of like wimpy. They're always out of place. They're not the works. Yeah, they just struggle. And they always need some like third party guy to kind of show them the way and lead them on missions and help them do things. And they're usually just a bunch of big pussies. And Matt Hunter gets the jump on him here and really isn't that interested in hearing what he has to say.
Yeah, even when he's like, the company needs you, and I'm not interested. We believe Rostov's in the country. He thinks that'll get him because there's some history there, as we will find out. And Hunter's like, you should have let me kill that guy when I had the chance. He's your problem now. And we cut to Rostov, who's having a Matt Hunter nightmare, which I'm sure many a man have had a Chuck Norris nightmare.
It's also another nice little bit of visual storytelling there that we've seen this guy like wreak havoc and just be the ultimate badass villain and just kill everybody in his path. But then even he has nightmares and but establishes like how unstable he is, but also how badass Matt Hunter is before he's even had to do a thing.
Right.
And his boy Nico comes in. Here's him having this dream, this nightmare. And Ross was like, we have to kill the bastard before the operation. Nico's like, no, let's just do what we're here for. Don't worry about, you're obsessed. It's too risky to be going off script and doing anything other than what the plan is, which is to invade the USA. But Rostov says, as long as Hunter is breathing, he is a threat. And you can't argue with that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not wrong. I mean, Matt Hunter seemingly has no interest in being involved in whatever is happening. And it's probably only because Rostov shows up here in the next few scenes that Matt Hunter becomes a one-man killing machine.
Right.
Well, I tend to think, though, like watching what unfolds later in the film, there's no way he would have stayed on the sidelines. Like eventually he probably would have been like, okay, I'm probably the only guy who can stop this.
Would he have known about it, though?
Yeah, that's what I was about. Would he have even known sitting there in his shack in the Everglades?
Eating frog legs. And
yeah, he may have been oblivious to it, or you know, at least it would have been very late into it by the time he heard about it. We'll never know because somehow they figure out where he is. And Rostov and his boys, they get in the fan boats and they go to the shack.
Which amazing coordination on the fan boats. Like they were all like lined up right next to each other and just flying. I don't know if they had them bolted together or what, but I just remember thinking as close as they were, it just seemed that was pretty impressive because those things are pretty erratic. So well done, stunt team.
And Hunter was just there. He was chopping up some wood with his chainsaw, surprisingly not with his bare hands.
Hey, you don't get that kind of insight on most action movie podcasts there. So thank you, Ryan.
Yeah that's why we have him on.
It's about all I can bring to this one. So
no, not at all. We find out that Matt Hunter has a pet armadillo.
Why not?
He actually does.
Now the baddies, they turn off the motors as they get close so that they can kind of undetected. They're going to sneak in. But what they don't realize is good old John Eagle is on his way to see his boy Matt Hunter, possibly with some frog legs, possibly not. And he sees the bad guy, so he screams out Matt, and takes some shots at him, takes at least one of them out. Mm-hmm. But then he himself is shot dead. Matt heard the cry and jumps out the back window just as they blow up his shack.
Did you happen to see what was in John Eagle's boat there?
No. What was it, Chad?
So he had his gun, his rifle sitting there, but next to it there was like a jar. I assume it had frog legs in it, but there was a bottle of wine, and then there was a bag. And you could I paused it. It said Adam and Eve on the bag. I think it was that store where you buy
some sex toys for him and the Gators.
I don't know. I'm just wondering why he was going to Matt's house.
All right. See, that's not This is a holiday episode.
That's something wrong. You only can catch. It's one of those little things that, like, one of those fun things that now that we have 4K and we can upscale all this stuff.
Yeah, one frame.
Chad Cruz was not
intended to be seen, or when they shot it, they were like, no one will be able to read this.
Chad Cruz was not watching in 4K. I can assure you of that.
Now, let's go back on topic. Sorry, go ahead.
Speaking of fucking a gator, that's all you're gonna say.
Back to you, Brain.
So yeah, Matt survived. They don't realize it. The armadillo also survived.
Probably rolled up in a little ball and then
Past. And we see a shot of the armadillo, and I recall from the commentary track on Invasion USA that Joe Zito was in a screening, and that scene came on where the armadillo, they showed that he survived, and Menachem Golan turned to Yoram Globus and said, "That's why Joe Zito is a great director."
I love it.
That sounds true.
Bless Menachem.
Double the budget. Give them more money.
And they would get more money as time would go on. So yeah, they think the bad guys think they've won. Okay, now we got rid of Matt Hunter just like I wanted to.
Yeah.
We can now go about our business. Matt brings in John Eagle to what is left of his home, sets John Eagle and what's left of everything on fire. Hey, how are you? See you down the road, John Eagle.
Funeral pyre, like a Viking send-off or something.
Right.
Yeah, it was nice.
It was good. It was very nice.
He deserved it.
Matt then makes his way back to where John Eagle's restaurant is, hops in. I'm assuming that's where he just parked his truck, was at John Eagle's parking lot. Or maybe it was John Eagle's truck. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he gets the truck, and now it looks like he might be back in action after all. You killed John Eagle, you done pissed off Matt Hunter.
That's right.
Low, and now you done poked the bear.
So we get Rostov and Nico, and they're just enjoying a hot dog. We've got the Jingle Bells playing in the background because this is, in fact, a Christmas movie.
There you go. Yeah.
And they insult, basically, look at all these Americans. They're soft. They don't even know what's going on. They're clueless. They don't even understand what their freedom is. They don't appreciate it. Well, they might appreciate it here soon. Then we go to later that
in the 80s when we weren't that far removed from like multiple wars. Like,
well, later that night, there's a little fun on the beach happening with a young couple who are out there for a late night swim. They have a little blanket set up, a portable TV, and Jack, what are you? Hand signals? All right.
And then Jason came out.
It really did feel like a setup for a horror movie, a slasher. But instead, it's just Nico. He shows up, he kills them, then enjoys a little Phyllis Diller, who happens to be on the TV. Before his boys come in, they come in, Chad Cruz, and they got like old school military.
Yeah.
What are those gimmicks called?
Guns?
Oh, those boat things with the
the
drop. I don't know. Fucking rafts. I don't know.
Okay,
what are you talking about?
Fucking rafts.
I don't know what you're talking about. Did they have the ones with the doors that?
Yeah, it comes down and they all came pouring out.
Yeah, I don't remember those.
Breach boats. I don't know.
Sure, that sounds good. I don't know what those are called, to be honest with you. I've seen some in person. They're pretty cool looking. They're pretty frightening, actually, to think about it. Like, you know, because the kind of the walls of those rafts, those landing craft are so high, you couldn't see over top of it. And I can just imagine, you know, landing on like Normandy or some crazy shit and just not seeing anything and being like, I'm about to get in a world of hurt.
That may have been best that you didn't see what you were getting into. And
that's true.
It just opens up and like, let's go. We got to go.
Yeah. I think this is
probably anticlimactic, but it's called a landing craft vehicle. An LCV, or sometimes it can be called a Higgins boat because that's the guy that invented it.
Oh, cool.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins and Mr. Campbell. I was going to look that up, but I'm like, oh, Chad Cruz, our military and history expert, will have this on the tip of his tongue.
I was in the Navy, Brain.
Oh,
Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. You just mentioned World War II, so you know they were used there.
Yeah, I've seen them. I was at a great, wonderful history museum here in Columbus, Ohio, called Mott's Museum, and it's just some dude who like created his own museum, and it's out just outstanding. Just so many great pieces there, and they have one of those landing craft there.
LCV for those in the know.
Yep, from D-Day, they've got all kinds of cool shit there. Helicopters and stuff. It's just some dude who did it like on his own property, and now it's grown to be something much larger, but it's really cool to see.
Very good. There's a nice plug for you.
Free Mott. Yeah, go to Mott's. It's awesome.
Well, so these terrorists, they come in, they trample right over the dead bodies of the couple. They got to get
great,
to their
great Foley sound work there when they step on the bodies, like this crunch noise. Yeah. I guess these bones have already, in the 5 minutes that they've been there dead, have just already decayed to such a state.
But they just came out of the water. You got to remember that. That may have had an impact on it.
I think you could tell it's not a horror movie because she never got topless. She was never topless.
Yeah, that's a shame.
I think in a Jason movie, in a Friday the 13th film,
he would have waited. He would have waited for that top to come.
Yeah, he has impeccable timing.
He does. He's a good man. So yeah, they've got this whole fleet of trucks, and they're going to just start sending these guys all over the country, Vegas, Chicago, here, there, everywhere, cause trouble, cause panic in the streets. Get the people to hate each other, get the people to hate authority, and just basically let America implode on itself, with obviously a push from these bastards.
Did they ever state that that's the plan?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like I must have missed it then, because that was one of my issues with the movie. Is I get that we often criticize a lot of modern movies for giving so much exposition and always just spilling things out, but I felt like I missed the part where like how all this worked in to actually take over and invade the USA. But that's must have been something I missed there.
It could have been. I could be filling in my own blanks too.
I thought that him and Nico were talking about it at one point.
Yeah.
I don't remember which. I don't know if it was the scene where they were also talking about the, you know, softness of America or what. But I do remember hearing something. I don't know if it was like laid out perfectly. I agree with you, Ryan. It is kind of like, you know, we've seen a handful of invasion movies into the United States, and most of them you kind of like laugh at them because the idea of it's kind of ridiculous. But this is like what 300 guys at most come off this boat. So, you know, you probably couldn't even invade Miami with that. So
we'll just tell ourselves that this same situation was going on in multiple other areas, coordinated effort.
Yeah. And they even say 18 hours from now, America will be a different place. So meanwhile, Hunter has met up with Adams from the CIA. I'll take the assignment. Of course, Adams gives him the classic CIA line. If something goes wrong, we don't know anything about this. They washed their hands of it before it even started.
Fucking CIA.
Somewhere
on a computer, a red flag has popped up next to my name.
Exactly. That was Ryan Campbell who said that, not me. I love you, CIA. And I also love the FBI, even though they're always seemingly a few steps behind on this whole thing, and they're there and they're like, what the hell? These LCVs are from 40 years ago. How'd they get these? And we got to figure that out. And they're even there.
One guy like had no interest in actually figuring it out. And he was like, so they bought them from somewhere. Go figure it out.
Right. McGuire is there again. She's looking for comments. She also gets her first look at Matt Hunter.
That's all it took.
In all his denim glory, and oof. One minute she sees him, the next minute she don't.
Yeah, she's going to need a adult diaper next time she sees him, because I think that there's going to be just an explosion of fluids.
Fluids?
From everywhere.
What's the word you should be using, Chad? We don't use fluids on this, on this show. Sorry. We have a term for this.
Yeah, you'll have to remind me what it is.
It's secretions. Okay.
That's right. That's what it was. That's right.
That's at least three in a row where we've hit secretions.
Secretions is the new Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't tell him I said that, though, because it sounds strange if you don't put it in context.
We know you've had secretions over Dolph Lundgren. That's fine.
Hey, me and Tia Carrere. I mean, if you throw her in the mix,
you, probably... you saw something that you never thought you'd see before, Chad. All right. We cut to the burbs. And we got a dad out there with his son and daughter, and they're decorating a tree in their front yard because it's Christmas time, and this is a Christmas movie.
Yes.
Mom's in. She's calling, dinner time. And the little girl and the son, they were fighting over who was going to put that star on the top of the tree. And the little girl, as most women are, devious in their ways, mm-hmm. even from a young age, doubles sure. back.
Whoa!
And she's going to... She's going to put that star on the tree. And she does. And it's a very busy night on this. There's kids playing football. There's some teenagers making out. And here comes Rostov and Nico.
Oh, this may be a busy street, but it ain't as busy as one we're going to see in a little bit.
Here we go. You're right. But and they just start blowing up houses. Up houses. And what a coup for Cannon, because this was actually in the Atlanta area. And they bought the airport, bought all these, this section, this neighborhood, because they were expanding the airport. So these houses had to go anyway. So they got to blow up actual houses. What a beautiful thing.
Fantastic.
It's so awesome. And you know, in my line of work, I often, well, sometimes not as often as we hope, but I get to train in houses that we, you know, set fire to. That are obviously not occupied anymore. But it's harder to come by these days because of so many, you know, city regulations and such. But we had an entire shoot. It was a massive community. It was probably, I don't know, 300 small, like, townhomes. And they were all going to be demolished. And for about 2 years, they just sat there. And we spent a few days, you know, busting them up, cutting holes in them and what have you. And then someone got the grand idea that we shouldn't be doing this anymore because it's a bad idea. They're going to look terrible. So a whole crew of people came in and painted them different colors, like purple and blue and red and green. And they looked like absolute dog shit. And now they're gone. So America.
Great story. I'm glad that's where you went, though. I didn't know where you were going. So, like, in my line of work, we don't get to do it as often as we want to. But you just say go to a burning house, so it could have been worse.
No, training fires. Yeah, I'm done.
So about these fan boats, guys.
So they blow up these houses. Now elsewhere, there's a. At the local community center in Miami, there's a party going on, as there often are at community centers in Miami. Mm-hmm. And some cops roll up, and then they just start. One of them just has a shotgun and starts shooting people. This obviously causes some problems when the real cops show up to see what the hell is going on, and they don't know. They just think the cops are harassing them, so they start throwing crap at the cops. The cops are like, "Well, we're getting out of here." And now here comes Matt Hunter, and this was a scene that really struck a chord with Ryan Campbell, because I got a text as it was happening. Matt Hunter drives into downtown Miami. And it doesn't seem that people want him there, Ryan.
This I could watch a documentary on this, just this street that he rolls down. For one, he's not like in a cop car. He's just in a truck, like, you know, nothing. And every single person is out on this street. Every low life in all of Miami is on this street. And every single person takes 3 steps out into the street and walks towards the car. He drives by, like, you know, the drug dealers, the prostitutes. The druggies, like, this is the busiest street in the world. He chose to drive down, and every single person on it has got a problem with him being there.
He's an outsider, and they know it.
Well, I'm going to say this: this is a Christmas movie, Ryan. So, people who work the streets, they got to be out there working, making their money. So, a lot of those folks out there that we see in the film, they're upset that Matt Hunter's there because he ain't buying, if you know what I'm saying.
I just found it fascinating because, like, you know, we've seen that shot before in plenty of movies. Guy drives down the street, window shot, dirty look, whatever. And they did it like 5 times. It just kept happening. And like, we've established this as a seedy area.
Yeah.
It just kept happening. Like, this street.
And that's why Joe Zito is a great director.
That is. That's exactly why. That and the armadillo.
So yeah, Hunter then goes into a bar. There's a wannabe tough guy. I guess, I don't know if he was the official bouncer or just anointed himself the bouncer. But he's like, you know, basically, are you here? You here to buy some drugs. You here, to, you know, like Chad said, these people are trying to make a living and they don't need some looky-loos coming in with no business in mind.
The fuck is a looky-loo?
Just a guy coming to look. But of course, you're not Matt Hunter. It's nothing to him. He just takes out this guy with ease. And then he sees this guy he knows, some sort of informant, who tells him, hey, check this place called the King Cobra.
Hell yeah.
I think there's some of those Rostov people over there.
Isn't the tough guy, you know, former quarterback guy, isn't he the one that Hunter grabs his hand?
Yeah, and smashes
him. He's holding a beer bottle and he fucking breaks the bottle in his hand. That's a pretty badass way to do it, though.
Yeah, he's very calm about it, of course. Yes. And, you know, cool.
He's always calm. Yeah, that's what I love about this character in this film. And, you know, I think it's a very different Matt Hunter in this movie than we see in Avenging Force, for obvious reasons. Different actors and stories are very different and stuff. But Chuck, he plays the character so well. You know Samoa Joe, the wrestler Samoa Joe. He does that move where they jump off the top and he just walks away.
Yeah,
that's Matt Hunter. Matt Hunter. He just like fucking walks away when people do stuff. I love it.
Yeah.
So then we have, the FBI, and that's now they're starting to fill in some of those gaps that I mentioned. Like, okay, the people are against the cops. They're turning against one another. It's chaos. And of course, we don't see any of this. We just have to take their word for it because this is a canon film. And even though it did have a larger budget than most canon films,
it does pick up a little bit. Cause this is something I was texting you as I was watching. I said the same thing, but once I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but once the military comes out, it does start to feel a little grander. It feels like, okay, the scope is a little bigger than just some dudes wreaking some havoc in the city. So to their benefit, I think some of that was what you were saying, Brain. They, throughout the process, they increased the budget because they liked what they were seeing. I think they put that money to good use to kind of build the scope of the film out a little more.
Yes. And so now outside the King Cobra, there's a guy who's just baby in his car checkers. He's waxing the hell out of it. He's making sure this thing is as cherry as possible. It's shining. It's beautiful. Not a spot on it. Chuck comes over there.
Yeah.
He's looking. He finds Tomas, who's one of Rostov's guys. And Tomas he's taking a woman upstairs to one of the rooms because...
No. Your notes here say, making time with a whore.
Yeah.
Making, you wrote that, Jim.
Making time with a whore. So he's taking...
He's wooing her.
There you go. They're making whoopee.
Yes.
So, but before he can get to the whoopee stage, our man Matt Hunter comes in, interrogates him. So the whore's like, I need to get paid. So she runs down to go get car waxing man.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes upstairs, interrupts Chuck's interrogation.
Yeah.
I don't like that kind of micromanagement from a pimp. You know, you gotta trust your whores to get the work done.
She came to him though. To be fair, she came to him for help. She escalated the problem. And as a manager, you have to take care of the problem.
And he had his big juiced up buddy down there with him. He had and you know, like you said, Chuck is interrogating this Tomas fella. He had interrupted him. He was trying to get his secretions out and interrupted his secretions. And now this fucking pimp's about to come up there with his old juiced up buddy and put a stop to Chuck. And it looks like he could do it because he's pretty beefy.
And Chuck gets to hit the line. I'll hit you with so many rights, you'll be begging for a left, which he himself suggested and they used in the movie. Yeah, so the car guy muscle dude. It doesn't matter. None of these people are enough. You could have brought 10 other people up there. It's not going to be enough. When it's all said and done, Matt Hunter has a grenade with him because why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Pulls the pin, hands it to Tomas, and you got to hold on to it. If you let go, there's going to be a problem. And he's like, if you survive this, make sure you tell Rostov it's time to die.
Bum, bum, bum.
Thank you, Jay Chataway, and your music. After Hunter leaves, Tomas frantically throws the grenade out the window, and wouldn't you know where it lands, but the car. Isn't it ironic? Goodbye, car.
Isn't it? What would have happened if Hunter had been walking by and it fucking blew him up?
Oh, shit.
Like that's a terrible weapon to give somebody. Like, and now I'm going to turn around and walk away. He should have just thrown it at him.
Still not as long as the grenades in Die Hard 2. That take 35 minutes to explode for whatever.
The long fuse.
They're just tossing. And the weird thing is that they toss them in at different times, but they all explode at the same time.
Synchronized.
That's right.
Maybe they pulled the pins all at the same time. It just, they took turns tossing them. I don't remember.
And I suppose once.
I just watched it too.
The others do explode no matter what. So.
So now
I've thrown a grenade before.
All right.
There's no story. I just threw one.
You threw it into a house that was painted purple, and then
no, I just
and that's why it doesn't it. Exist anymore. You just flung
it. Was on like a range. It was super lame. There's no good story about it.
Yeah, kind of like that story. All right. So we go to the mall, which is a place people, especially in the 80s, went to when it was Christmas time because you know. That's where you went. You had to go.
Yeah, it's like having Amazon Prime, but in a physical
location. Yeah, you walked around. You had to actually walk around, not just sit there and scroll.
I miss going to the mall on like a Friday night with the family, and no one bought shit, but we just walked around. It's good times.
Looky loos. Okay. Right. Joy to the World is playing because, again, it's Christmas time.
Yeah,
you see a little brat kid looking at the this Nissan 720 King Cab 4x4, baby. They're gonna give this thing away, and he's just eyeing it up. He's chomping on some gum. The security guard's like giving him the side eye because he's like, this kid's gonna do something. I don't know what, but this kid's up to something. I hate these brats. I'm sick of this job. It's minimum wage, and it sucks here. There's too many people here. But anyway, kid throws the gum right on the windshield. Then he starts running off. Security guard goes after him. And that's where we see one of those terrorist dudes. And he's got a bag with him with gifts in it, which is not odd to see because people are buying things. There's hustle and bustle. They're getting things wrapped. This is it, baby. And he goes to this department store. Like he's looking at stuff in the case, puts the bag down, and then strolls away. Well, of course, we've got this couple who's nearby shopping for someone. And the woman's like, oh, that man left his package. Mm. I'll get this package to him, honey.
I'll be the hero.
He gets
it. You nosy bitch.
Yeah, mind your business. She should have just taken it. Let's see, the Christmas spirit. If this was like if this was in July, they probably would have just stole the package and taken it home. But they're like, oh, no, that's someone's gift. No, they're not going to have it. All right. Anyway, the guy's going after him. Hey, buddy, your packet, you left this. That guy's just making a beeline. He's not even trying not to hear him. But that guy is persistent. He's like, come on, mister. Yeah. I've got your freaking package here.
Hey, pal. I'll
give this to you. My wife won't shut the hell up about it.
Right. So then the terrorist just starts running. So it's like, okay, obviously you've heard the man and you don't want this package, but that guy won't give up until shots are fired. And then the bag blows up. We get pandemonium. And just in time, just as the chaos breaks out, how he knew to be here, I don't know. And I don't care because I want to see Chuck Norris driving through a mall.
It's perfect. Superpower.
I think he was going to the Chick-fil-A because that was when they still did the samples outside.
Oh, okay.
You know, you'd walk by, they had the toothpick with the fucking nugget on it.
So we're establishing this wasn't on a Sunday then.
Correct. Okay. It was not a Sunday. It's a Saturday.
In keeping with lame stories, I remember being a kid and seeing a lady choke at the mall on Chick-fil-A and like,
oh shit,
a security guard gave her the Heimlich and then she threw it up. And I didn't eat Chick-fil-A for a very long time after that.
Wow.
Did she throw it up on the windshield of a Nissan 720 King Cab? She did
not. No, it was on the other side of the food court.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of that Nissan, the terrorists get in, hotwire the thing, and they're going to take off. But Hunter, who's now out of his truck, because he's had to get out to shoot some people, jumps on the side, passenger side of the Nissan as it's just driving through the mall, crashing through storefronts, and just all sort of destruction. And again, this was an actual mall. This one, it was in Miami. I think they were going to be doing some renovations or something.
They are now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So they were just like, yep, tear the place up if you want. We don't care.
Yeah. There's no shortage of malls that you could film this scene in.
And now, today, yeah. If we did you can, there's one every exit in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. That eventually ends up in the parking lot. When they smash through that last set of glass doors, though, Hunter falls off. And then we get some women who just come up to the side. These crazed drivers are coming out of there. And these women just walk right up to them and start reading them the riot act.
Dude, these American broads.
Nowadays, people would just have their phones out.
Yeah. And
recording it. They wouldn't dare go up to them. But these women, they had no fear. They went right up to them and gave them what for. The driver snatches up one of them. And now we got this woman hanging off the driver's side as they just go speeding away. But fortunately for this woman, our fearless reporter, McGuire, happened to be pulling up right at the same time. She has a nice convertible. Chuck jumps in, gets her. You get in the back. We're going after this.
You wanted to be part of the story. You're here.
You're in the story now, lady. So we get the daring rescue, and it takes a bit. You know, you got to get that timing right because these cars are moving. You got to grab her. They save the woman. The car chase goes on a little longer until the terrorists just smash into some parked cars. And in action movie fashion, everything just blows up.
Yeah.
Tremendous scene.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was.
God bless Cannon. I mean, from the minute that Chuck comes into that mall, it's just like boom, 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 boom. It's wonderful. Yeah.
Most films around this time, if they got one of the, okay, you can blow up a village that's about to be demolished or a mall that needs demolished. If they got one of those two things, that would be enough. That's the centerpiece.
Yeah. Cannon really got
the scene of the movie. Move on.
Cannon got extremely lucky with this film. And again, putting more money into it. It's why it's the Christmas classic it is, as far as I'm concerned. So now we got Rostov, who Tomas survived. Obviously, he threw the grenade into the car. And Rostov, you know, they say, Chad Cruz, don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what Rostov does.
Where did that saying come from? Do you know?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Once again, we've come prepared.
Just wondering.
All right, to the Google machine.
Ryan Campbell is going to look that up for us while we filibuster.
Yeah, so Nico is pretty pissed about the whole situation. But, you know, Rostov, he's a loose cannon. And I think that this entire invasion plan was well planned, right, and well executed. But the chink in the armor of Rostov is Matt Hunter. And now that Matt Hunter has kind of thrown himself back in the situation, Rostov's all fucking wishy-washy about what's happening. And he's just shooting people in the dick left and right.
Right. You know, I could relate to Nico a little bit. Yeah. He's got this partner that they got involved in this, this project. And Nico's just like, let's stick to this plan. We've got this good plan. It'll work. But somebody is constantly doing something stupid to make sure it doesn't work. Ryan Campbell, do you have something for us?
I do. The sentiment that one should not kill the messenger was originally from Shakespeare.
Of course.
Henry IV, Part II. I didn't even know Shakespeare did sequels. But from Henry IV, Part II, in the year 1598. That is quite a
hell of a year.
That's a long time ago. Of course, Billy Shakespeare. We should have known.
Big Bill.
So yeah, we've got Nico, as he says, best FBI. Now again, once again, they're at the mall. They're there for the cleanup. They're always there for the cleanup. And the head FBI guy, I believe played by Eddie Jones, is like, you know, some of our guys aren't even going to work now. They're staying home. They want to protect their families. It's getting bad out there, and it's going to get worse because the National Guard has been called in.
Whew. That's serious, serious business.
And then Rostov, being Rostov, he's like, you know what we should do? Let's blow up a church.
Why not?
So we see,
character.
We see this family, and they're like, they shouldn't be, because there's like, you know, enforcing curfew. You should just stay in your house. But this family's like, we're going to church. They may have done some stuff that they're like, we probably should go repent right now in case our time is up. So they go to the church, and there's, you know, it's a packed house, basically. And it could be very bad. It could be a very bad scene. But fortunately, Matt Hunter is there to prevent the old exploding suitcase gimmick.
His sixth sense superpower of knowing where these guys are going to attack.
Yeah.
Again.
He's like Superman, like Christopher Reeve Superman. He just like appears when something's happening. And he's like up on the roof, and he's like, oh, it didn't work, huh? And he's like, try this one. He just fucking flings it down.
Beautiful. It's so good. Rostov, so maybe he's just thinking one step ahead. He's had his number.
That's true. That is true.
Him and McGuire are both pretty similar in that fashion.
Yeah. It's like Lois Lane and Clark Kent.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is just a prequel to Superman the movie.
Perhaps, but I don't think so. We get a crowd outside the grocery store. And obviously with all the chaos going on, deliveries aren't happening. Yeah. And so whatever they have is what they have. So it's like 12 items or less type situation. And then here comes the National Guard. But no, it's fake National Guard. And they start shooting things up, including one of them is our boy Nico.
Damn you, costume stores. Selling
bitch.
Outfits. So Nico's there, but
outfits and National Guard's outfits.
Army surplus, dog.
That's right. And then Hunter shows up. He's got two guns now, Chad Cruz.
Yeah, why not?
He's great. This is like the inspiration for the cover of the poster.
Yeah, the double Uzis.
Yep. And it is. And Nico gets a hold of McGuire, who of course is there. It's like he's going to use her, but that's Hunter's very skilled. You can have had an entire family of young children in front of him. He could have still shot without hurting one of those kids. Not a hair on their head would have been hurt. Chuck's good. Matt very Hunter's true. Good.
He is.
So he takes out Nico. So now we've got one half of this. The leadership is out. Now it's all Rostov, which may be good or bad. We'll find out. Speaking of kids, we get a bunch of them loaded up on a school bus. Because I guess they thought, well, we'll send you out to the country where you'll be safe.
But that's my plan. If anything ever goes to shit.
You're just putting your kids on a bus to the country?
Not put my kids on a bus, but heading to the country. Go to the country.
I was going to say, why wouldn't the parents go with? What are they going to do? Sit back and die? I didn't understand why the parents didn't join their kids.
They're going to go looting. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe.
You guys.
We couldn't give you guys a good Christmas. We're going to go get it now. That's for sure.
You guys can come to my house. I got a bunch of guns, and I've got like, I don't know, 500 pounds of meat in my freezers.
Yeah, you do.
All meat in Columbus.
Come out, come meet me, dude. We'll put up a real defense against
these. We'll stop at the museum and get some equipment first.
Ooh, dude.
Get a nice Higgins boat. Yeah, we're going to go.
Actually, that'd be a good thing. Like, write that movie, Chad Cruz.
That's a good idea.
Everyone goes to that museum, and that's where they're like, all right, they weren't expecting all this, were they? You're going to come to Columbus? We got another
thing coming like that, for you. That shitty Battlefield movie where they like go to the museum boat that's on display and then like get it going, and they use that to beat the aliens because it's all analog. It's not electronic or anything like that.
Is that Battlefield LA or whatever?
No, it's the Battleship I meant. Yeah.
Oh, Battleship.
One actual based on the game, the board game.
With Rihanna. Is it Rihanna?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Oh, Lord of mercy.
But that's how in the ending, they get a bunch of like veterans to re-engage this old, like,
so dumb
ship. And then they literally play Battleship and shoot things. It's crazy.
Oh my God. That's a shame I missed that one.
Well, you know what you can review next on bulletproofaction.com. So the kids are scared, obviously. They're being separated from their parents. But, you know, a little row, row, row your boat fixes all that. And they just have a good time as they take their trip to the country. And I want to give, you know, one of the features that I have not done in a while on bulletproofaction.com was Unsung Heroes. Ooh. And if I was going to do an Unsung Heroes on Invasion USA, I would have to give props to the construction crew that is still coming to work and doing their job when all this chaos is going on. There's a terrorist invasion. Neighborhoods are being blown up. Malls are being blown up. These guys are like, well, bills aren't going to pay for themselves. I got to go to work. Yep. So they're there working.
Salt of the earth.
And the terrorists, of course, they ignore the safety cones. They don't care about safety. And they speed up, get alongside this school bus, and they plant a bomb on the side of it. But once again, Matt Hunter is exactly where he needs to be because he sees all this happening and he races up to the school bus, takes the bomb off, and then speeds up to the terrorists to return their property to them.
I just can imagine like a coke-filled haze of a room where they were writing like all of these different scenes that are, they're almost just all kind of standalone scenes of just terrorists try to do thing. Chuck Norris shows up and stops it. And they're just like, what if putting kids on a bus? And then he shows up. And what if they, they're going to try to do this? And then he shows up. And they're going to, they're at the bar. And then he shows up. And all those other things. I can see it. In the 80s, hazy, foggy room of coke when this movie was written.
Why is it foggy?
With the coke is in the air.
I think they probably were smoking cigarettes too.
Okay.
Yeah, that would
make it. There's one single light that's dangling above like a table, and there's just this fog.
Very interesting. Very interesting theory. I think
a mental picture in my head. I don't know if I.
I think the writer may actually follow Bulletproof Action, so hopefully he doesn't listen to this, or maybe he will and be like, "That's exactly what happened."
If he's listening to this, please click on Black Christmas versus Black Christmas.
So now I get the CIA against me and the writer of Invasion USA. This has been a great podcast, guys. Really.
You are really.
That's a lot for the fanboat community, though.
Yeah, it was. James Bruner. Yeah, he's definitely. I've interacted with him a few times on the social media. He's a good man.
That's the energy that he was able to give off. So maybe that's what he was called.
I'm sure he doesn't remember you, Brian.
I'm sure he doesn't. I'm surprised you two do. Here's one interesting thing, though. We've talked about Hunter is everywhere he needs to be, but apparently he isn't because we see like this carnival that has just been blown to smithereens. And you know there was a bunch of kids and families at this carnival. And that's what Hunter, he's there. He meets up with Adams. He's like, you know, for every one I stop, 100 more succeed.
Good point. Yeah, we keep assuming that he's.
We're only seeing what he's doing. We're not seeing what the other guys are doing. So,
which is actually pretty rad because it builds up these villains even more. It's like, you know, you watch a movie and someone's beating the shit out of like 20 guys, but he's beating the shit out of them one at a time. You're like, why don't they just jump them?
Right.
And that's kind of what this is, right? They're doing one little scheme at a time and he's stopping them all. But in actuality, they're doing multiple ones. He's not stopping them. I'm sure at one point they were on that street with all the assholes who were punching his car, his truck, and they probably mowed him down with an M60 or something. So, and I don't know if Hunter would even stop that even if he were there.
Right. Good point.
Did they deserve it, Brain, do you think?
Did they deserve it?
The people on that street.
Listen, I'm not going to go there. Where I'm going to go with is Hunter has a plan. He's like, okay, we got to just cut the head of the snake off. And then everything else will fall into place. And that, of course, being Rostov. So he comes up with this elaborate scheme. And Adams is, of course, like, this is going to take so much work. Just do it, asshole. So he does it. Yeah, anything worth doing.
Grab by the scruff.
Listen, yeah, just do it. Okay, so Rostov is watching the news. He's got multiple TVs set up, watching all the different stations. And finally finds an interesting story that Matt Hunter has been arrested. But Hunter is, this is going on, he's in protective custody. Or wait a minute, no, I'm skipped ahead.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Rostov is watching the news. Hunter is chilling in his motel room watching an old sci-fi movie. The FBI come in to the motel room and arrest Hunter, just like the plan called for it. Now Rostov sees on the news that Matt Hunter's been arrested, and they'd say, oh, he's going to be taken to Atlanta and held there while the governors are all there to meet about what the hell we're going to have to do with this problem that's going on. So now Rostov's like, oh, okay. I know where he's at. Hey, everybody, wherever you're at, get your ass back here. Get your ass to Hotlanta, because we are going to take out Matt Hunter. And all the governors being there, too. That's not a bad target either.
Yeah, I imagine they could have done it anywhere else in the country. That's probably not as close to the epicenter of everything that's going on. But, you know, whatever.
So Rostov, he's going to go there in style. He gets in a chopper, they land on the roof of the building where they believe that Matt Hunter is being held. And Rostov and his guys, all right, let's go inside. Let's go get him. Hunter was up there on the roof hiding somewhere. And he's like, oh, you may have come here on a helicopter, but you ain't leaving on it. Because he blows it up. Props to you, our friend's exploding helicopter. This was a good one. That thing is... no one's using that. It's blown to smithereens. I loved it.
It ain't going into any museum anytime soon.
You're not
going
to be delivering any furniture with that chopper.
No, you're not. So now Hunter's like, okay, I did that. I'm going to go follow my boy Rostov to pay him a little surprise. He's looking for me. I'm looking for him. Rostov does eventually figure out that it's a trap, but it's too late at that point. And we've got Hunter in there. He starts taking out the guys. Meanwhile, on the ground, it's a whole full... you got the terrorists versus the National Guard. And this is where you were saying, Ryan, this is where it looks big time.
Yeah, I have to imagine that maybe this is where that extra little bit of budget went into this final
scene. Like, okay, yeah, it's good, but we need to really have a big finale. So here's some money. What can you do with this? And
that's where a lot of these movies do kind of fall short, is there's a premise there, and then they kind of run out of budget, and by the end, like, it just, they just have to tie it up and it doesn't end.
Much like Masters of the Universe, I think, was guilty of that. By the time they got to the film, the ending, they had to really scale it back.
Because they've run out of time, they've run out of money, and it's just like, do something. So, not the case here. They put that money to good use and really got a good finale. Everyone's just walking around with bazookas. Everybody got a bazooka. Here's a bazooka.
That could fire multiple times if necessary.
Well, so I think some of those are like fantasy rocket launchers, you know, like the,
exactly,
you know,
like the kind you get at Adam and Eve.
Well, you get some, you have like these cylindrical tubes that you get there, but usually on one end is a collection device. The other end has got some sort of prosthetic vagina
appendage.
What's it collecting?
Secretions.
Thank you.
Oh boy. I think I've got one behind me. I need to find it here.
On the bookshelf, just sitting on the bookshelf, casually in the background.
It's a paperweight. It's sitting next to my car keys.
All right. Well, eventually the war down below. Chad's got his own war down below.
I think that's the name of one of the things, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
The war down below.
The good guys win. But that means we still have our inside battle, which is going to come down to, you guessed it, Matt Hunter versus Rostov. And he gets behind that perfect shot where you see Rostov. He's in the foreground of the shot. And then behind him, you see Matt Hunter. And he says, it's time. And boom, shakalaka, shoots him right through the wall, much like we see in Death Wish 3, which was also released in the same year. Cannon was all about blowing bad guys through the side of buildings in 1985.
And just the way, like, you see a boot flying, you see like a hand, there's just like meat, just like blood and meat. Like, they really, it wasn't just like a big explosion and you're left to kind of be like, okay, he's in there somewhere dead. No, you see bits of everything flying around.
It's he is like, dead. And he is dead. And that is it. That's the end of Invasion USA.
Literally, it does just end.
Literally, it's like, and he's dead.
And we're done.
Yeah. I don't have, we don't care. I'm not going to go hug the reporter lady. I'm not going to shake hands with the National Guard. No.
No medals. Fuck them.
Governor's all being like, hey, everything's good.
We're done. We're done.
Back to the swamps.
You can't, people. Come on.
Ryan Campbell, I should start with you. Your first time watching this, your final thoughts.
Yeah, I really enjoy movies where, whether they're disaster movies or otherwise, where like the status quo at the end and the status quo at the beginning are just drastically different, where it just escalates, where if you watch the first 5 minutes of the movie and the last 5 minutes, you're like, what the happened? And this checks that box for me, just seeing things gradually go to shit. And by the end, you know, it's just chaos. So I did have a little trouble following it in some points. Maybe that's on my fault. Maybe I was, not pay attention or miss some things or something like that. But all in all, it was enjoyable. I feel like, yeah, like I said, they I think that extra budget, whether that they had the start and the extra that they gave to it throughout the process, really kind of helped it set apart from a lot of the other, you know, movies of this type or canon films around the time. So it was good. I really enjoyed it. I don't know if it's on my Christmas list of every year watches like yours, Brain, but I did enjoy it.
Chad Cruz.
Yeah, I think it's an outstanding movie. I think it's if it's not Chuck's best, it's one of his top three for sure. I think it's the music's great. The main character is phenomenal. I mean, he doesn't really do anything. Does he ever get punched even? I don't know. I don't think so.
I was thinking this earlier. When he falls was maybe like the first time that we see him not even bleed, but just when they're in the parking lot and he falls off of like the truck. That's like the first time we see him really take any damage or really not be like immaculate that I can think of.
No, not yet. Yeah, I mean, it's... It really is kind of Chuck, like, to the max. And it's funny because they did, you know, Avenging Force after this, and it would have been interesting to see what a movie like that could have been starring Chuck Norris.
Yeah, I don't think he was comfortable with a lot of the racism and
racial
those themes
stuff,
that were part of, you know, part Good of for him. Avenging Force. So, enter the duty. Invasion USA. I've said this before, I think on this podcast, 1985, what a tremendous year. One of my favorite years of all time, but for canon alone, American Ninja came out in 1985. Invasion USA came out in 1985. Death Wish 3 came out in 1985. I mean, that's boom, boom, like almost every other month, they were just producing future classics. This actually was number one when we did the Chuck Norris Canon Countdown. This was the number one film by our panel of experts, so you know it's legit. And Brian said it, and it's true. This is something I watch every Christmas season for sure, and it's another one of if it pops up on Pluto or Freevee or something, I find myself like, oh, that's what's on, and like. Next thing you know, I'm sitting there watching it for another hour and a half because I can't turn it off. It is one of my favorite Chuck Norris. It probably is my favorite Chuck Norris film, easily.
I think this one and Lone Wolf McQuade are maybe one and two for me.
And we covered Lone Wolf McQuade in the archive, so check that out. Anything else anybody wants to say about Invasion USA before we wrap things up here on the holiday edition of the Bulletproof Podcast? All right. Well, you know, you can check us out on social media at Bulletproof Pod on X, aka Twitter, and at Bulletproof Action on Instagram, Facebook, and Threads. Any holiday plans you guys want to share? Anything you got going on you want to talk about?
Not too much. Just enjoying Christmas with the kiddos while we can. They got some I'm not going to say anything too loud because they're all kind of hovering around, but it should be fun. Always a good time getting to spend time with them.
Chad Cruz, are you going to put some of that 500 pounds of meat to good use over the holiday?
I am. I just got a pig recently. So I got a good ham that I'm going to make here Christmas Eve. Got some family coming over. We've been doing everything, man. We've done a couple little like Christmas orchestra gimmicks. We did a play recently, a Christmas play thing. And we did, the zoo lights. We have a great zoo here in City of Columbus. So we've been running around quite a bit. And of course I'm working through the holidays still. So, it's a good time when you have children. I think it's, there's like a lot of like build up to Christmas. And then when it's over, you're like, oh, thank goodness.
All right. Well, we also have to mention that it is Festivus time as well. Does anybody want to air any grievances? This would be the time to do it.
To my former employers that fired me last month. Fuck you. That's
all right. There you go. I have a few. To the tech support people that I've had to deal with past couple weeks, because it seems like there's something wrong all the time. Hopefully they'll get it set. We won't have that. But I also want to talk to my fellow physical media collectors out there, because I'm seeing a disturbing trend on social media with physical media collectors where that, they want to share like, hey, I got this in, or I got this, I picked this up. Put this shit on a goddamn table. There's so many pictures of people with their collection on a bed. Why are your movies on the bed? And it's not like, oh, they got so many that that's the biggest surface. No, they'll have one frickin' Blu-ray in the middle of the bed. Number one, don't you know how to crop a goddamn picture? Or number two, why is it on the, you don't have a table in your house? It's very, I don't like this. I don't need to know that part of your life. Keep that. Why are these Blu-rays in the bedroom? Just put them at the TV. Get a freaking shelf.
These people that just collect physical media all the time, they're not so like averse in digital stuff, so they probably don't know how to crop. They probably are like taking the picture with a Polaroid and then taking a picture of the Polaroid with their phone.
With the bed pictures. Get a damn table. Mm. I'd rather see it on the floor.
Tell them.
I can't take
it. I know what I'm doing the next time I come back with a new figure or something.
Don't you dare.
I've got some here that I haven't opened yet. Maybe I can get a good shot of those.
I hate you. All right. Chad Cruz, you have any grievances? Everything's good for Chad Cruz.
I don't know, man. Everything's happy.
I'm happy for good. You.
Whatever.
Good.
I can't change anything, so why even bitch about it, right?
Sometimes it feels good to do it.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Okay, there we go.
AdamandEve.com, ladies and gentlemen. Friend of the show.
For all your secretion needs. Next time.
Fan.
Next time. Chad Cruz has selected a movie for us, Ryan Campbell. I want you to join us again, Ryan Campbell.
Okay.
Because we're going to do a nice year in review. We're going to get some, we like to do a little peek behind the curtain. We'll do some stats.
I like stats.
I know Chad Cruz is going to tell us what countries that we are popular in.
Huge in Ghana, right, by the way.
Spoiler alert.
Or Uganda. I don't know, one of those places.
Okay, well, we'll find out for sure next time. But we're going to cover a movie that I have never seen. I don't know about you, Ryan Campbell, if you've seen it or not. 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
I have not. Nope.
Well, there you go. It's going to be a first-time watch for both of us. Who knows where the hell it is, but we'll figure it out between now and then, I suppose. And again, yeah, we'll have a little year-in-review action as far as the best podcast that we did, the best post that we did on the site, and just, yeah, who's watching, who's reading, what's going on. I love a good year-in-review. Because, next year is a big year.
Bulletproof action.
Next year is a big year, 10-year anniversary of Bulletproof Action.
But you've already got it planned for August of next.
I'm working on some things, but we'll get there, and we'll probably be celebrating. I mean, this is a big one, so we'll be celebrating really all of 2024 that we've hit 10-year mark. Yes, Chip.
We'll probably next year, by the end of the year, we'll have The Rock on. We'll have
Don Morocco, maybe.
Don Morocco, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, that'd be nice to get you two together and finally patch up your differences. This could have been your grievance. That Mark Wahlberg makes movies. That's a grievance.
I don't have as much problem with him because I don't ever see any of his movies. So I don't really. It doesn't affect me.
We can change that.
Yeah. Good.
Okay. All right, Chai. All right. Thank you, guys. Happy holidays to you.
Are we doing a thing? What are we doing there?
No. What are we doing? I don't know.
Like you guys were giving each other a high five on the Zoom cam. You both had your hands there.
No, we're not doing anything like that. So, yeah, guys, happy holidays. Chad is getting ready to secrete something. I am getting ready to wrap this thing up. So thank you, everybody, for listening.
I've got some movies to watch.
Watch some movies. Check out BulletproofAction.com. And as always,
find out whether I side with the Zack Snyder fans or critics tomorrow with Rebel Moon. It's one of those things where apparently he's already said that the director's cut is what he really, and I'm like, why did you make the freaking movie?
It sounds too complicated to me.
Yeah. Check out and see what I think of it as the Star Wars aficionado of the site and everything.
Your review will might more than likely come out before this podcast, but that's fine. Well, I'll see what I could do.
Good point.
I'll see what I can do. If I stay up and fix this or just say screw it, I'll do it tomorrow when I'm done.
Well, the good news is it will be up then. Go check it out.
Yes, check it out. Die Hard 2 as well will be. We got a lot going on. Always check out bulletproofaction.com. And as always, stay tuned for more of the Bulletproof Podcast. Happy holidays.
Fuck you.
Wow.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.